We return, please, once again to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 8. And with God's word open before us, let us pray that the Lord would speak to us through his precious truth. Our gracious Father, we ask that we might hear thy voice speaking to us through thy word. Thy Holy Spirit, who has penned and preserved this precious truth for us, might now come and speak it and write it upon our hearts. Oh, that we would be dutiful students of the Word of God, studying to show ourselves approved, being able to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth. And oh, that we might be able to say that the Lord has spoken unto us. Lord, we know that through this precious book we have the full revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be daily found within the Scriptures of truth. Like that blessed man of Psalm 1, whose delight was in the law of the Lord, and in thy law did he meditate day and night. Oh, that the same might be said of us, and we would know the blessing to our own souls, being found daily in the Word of God. Speak to us through it, we pray. We ask again in our Savior's name. Amen. What I would like to do over the next few weeks is to deal with the subject of hearing from God, or hearing God speak. It's one of the most basic claims of Christianity, that God reveals himself to his people. And you're not in the Bible very long reading the chapters that are recorded for us that you'll come across the phrase, "And God said." And we come to the realization very quickly that God does indeed speak to his people. He communicates to us. It becomes obvious that God is seeking to reveal himself unto us and have a relationship with us that requires communication. There is no relationship without communication. The problem, however, that you and I have is that communication can be misunderstood. I can only speak for myself in this regard, but there are times when Samuel speaks to me and either A, I don't hear it, or B, I misunderstand it, and I'm sure I'm not the only man that felt that way. In fact, I was given some advice some time back, and I was told, for us men folk, that there are only two things that we need to understand about women. Just nobody knows what they are. We misunderstand. And if we have difficulty communicating with those that we know and love and spend our life with, how much more should we expect there to be problems of communication with one who is so much infinitely above us? So there are communication problems that we have with God. I have to say quite frankly that I'm skeptical of those who claim to always have a clear word from God. A lot of silly things have been done by people that claim that God has spoken to them, and as a result I'm very skeptical when people tell me, "God told me this." I'm skeptical. Some people think that ministers, if anyone's going to know what God is saying, it will be ministers. Surely they will always understand just exactly what God would want us to do. I hate to break the illusion, but it's not true. We are just as often confused and in the dark as about what God would say to us as he would say to anyone else. There's no little red phone in my office that provides me with a hotline to heaven whereby God reveals to me each week what to preach or what to speak to the congregation. God doesn't send us an email with a new sermon and for each Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And sometimes we're left wondering, scratching our head, what is God seeking to say to me from this portion of Scripture or from that portion of Scripture? On the other hand, there are definite times in our lives when we can truly say without a shadow of doubt that God has spoken to us on certain things. And there's no doubt to us that it is God that has revealed himself to us. If you ever use your telephone and the person on the other end of the line says, hello, there are times that you recognize that voice without having to be told who it is. You recognize it. And before they've even given their name, it has already registered with you just exactly who it is. And there are times that God speaks to us that we don't have to ask, is this the word of God to my soul? We just know it is because God has revealed himself to us. Now, what makes the difference between being one time in the dark and wondering, is this what God is saying? And what the difference in the other when it becomes clear and apparent that this is God's word for our soul? The difference sometimes is our attitude. Nothing is more important than understanding that God is desiring to communicate with us and to speak to us, if only we will have the right attitude and tune in. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's an old phrase that was used back in the days when CB radios were all the go. Do you have your ears on? In other words, are you open in this channel to speak and to listen, to have a conversation? God is speaking to us. Are we tuned in? If you have a cordless phone in your house, there will be times that there will be a noise and static on the line, and what you do, you press a button to change the channel in order to find the right one, that it becomes crystal clear. And I wonder sometimes that God is speaking to us, but we have failed to hear because we are not on the right channel. Even now in the room around us, this room is filled with radio waves carrying all kinds of signals. How do I know? Well, if you've got a mobile phone in your purse or your pocket, if someone were to call you, it would start to ring. It picks up the signal. And these waves are passing through us. We don't see them. We don't hear them. But they are there. And if we've got the right kind of receiver, we are able to pick up its call. Are we tuned in to what God is saying? God is speaking, but are we listening? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus told in this story in Luke chapter 8 a parable in which he speaks of four kinds of attitudes that will depend very much on whether we hear the message of God clearly or not. Because we need to hear from God. Because through his guidance, he can direct us. He can deliver us from making the wrong choices and tragic mistakes. He can comfort us in times of trouble and so on. So he says, let me tell you a story of a farmer that goes out to sow the seed. And as he scattered his seed, it fell into different types of soil. And some of the seed falls upon good soil, and some of it doesn't. And these soils, these types of ground, represent four different hearts or four different attitudes to the reception of the good seed. Now, often when we preach through the parable of the sower, we liken each of the four types of ground to one of four types of people. I think sometimes, if we're honest, we are all four. Sometimes we are receptive to the Word of God. Sometimes we are hardened to the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God comes, but it becomes choked up with other cares and worries in our life. So it's not just four different types of people, but four different attitudes that we have to the seed of the gospel that comes to us. So we are all of these things at some time or another. So I want us to look at this passage and to ask the question, how can I hear God speaking to me? Because the sower is going forth, bearing his precious seed, and he is seeking to scatter, to sow it in the hearts of those who will hear. How can I hear God speak to me? Well, what does this passage reveal to us? Firstly, that we have to cultivate an openness to the things of God. If I want to hear from God, I have to be receptive to his truth. I've got to be ready and willing to hear from God. I wonder how you would answer if we ask the question, have you ever heard God speaking to you? Would you be able to say in the affirmative, yes, I heard God speak through his word. I've known his guidance and direction, his comfort and his help. We're not talking of some audible voice that only you could hear, but perhaps an impression that God made upon your heart, or a verse that seemed to stand out in the chapter that you were reading, something that gave direction to your thoughts and prayers that seemed like an answer from heaven. Have you ever had such an experience? If you've never had it, could it be that you were never open to the possibility of it happening? That you are closed off to God and our mind closed off to God revealing himself to us. We're told in verse 5 of the sower that went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And then by way of explanation in verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You can picture the scene there on the farm, and around them through the field there's a footpath upon which the farmer would walk, and there are two characteristics of these footpaths. Number one, they are hardened because of the constant traffic of people backwards and forwards. The soil is compacted under their foot and it becomes hard. And the seed, as it falls upon this wayside, it bounces. It doesn't penetrate. It doesn't fall into the soil ready to germinate and grow. This wayside is not like the soil that has been prepared and tilled and opened up to receive the seed. It's hard and it's narrow. Just a thin strip through the field where the farmer would plant his seed. He doesn't want a wide track. He doesn't want to lose too much ground. It's hard and it's narrow. Oh, there are many like that today. Hardened towards the things of God and narrow-minded and closed-minded and hard-hearted. It's like the soil compacted beneath the sower's feet. It's not even open to the possibility of receiving that word. And as a result, the Savior says that the seed that the farmer sows, it doesn't penetrate that ground. It can't take root. It can't sprout and grow. It lies upon the surface until the birds come along. And the birds eat it. It never gets a chance. I wonder, are there times when God desires to speak to us, but because we are closed to him and our hearts hardened towards him, that we're not receptive to his voice, we are unwilling to listen We've already decided what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and we're closed off to the possibility of God speaking to us. You know what causes such an attitude to the Word of God and to God speaking? Pride. Mostly pride. And we think to ourselves, we don't need God. I don't need to hear from God. I can make this decision on my own. I know how to handle this. I can pass this test without praying. And any time we feel to pray about something, we're saying to the Lord, I don't need your help for this. I can do it by myself. I can handle this mess. I can correct this error. I can resolve this conflict. I don't need your help. That's called pride. And when we're filled with pride, we're closed to God. We can't hear Him speaking because we have ourselves convinced, I've got it all figured out. I know what I'm going to do. I don't need to pray. I don't need God to intervene. We're closed and hardened towards the things of God. Another thing that causes it is fear. Some people are afraid of what God might say to them. What if I pray and God tells me to do something that I don't want to do? Or to go somewhere where I don't want to go? He might ask me to do something that's hard or difficult or unpopular, and I won't want to do it. So I'm afraid to let God speak to me because, well, I might turn into some religious fanatic or something. I'll lose my freedom. I'm afraid I'll lose my son or I'll lose my friends. And so we close ourselves off to God. We allow pride or fear or bitterness to hinder us hearing from God. Whenever we've been hurt and we're tempted to say things such as, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why are you doing this to me? If you're so great and loving and powerful, why are all of these things befalling me? We are going to be hurt in this life. We are going to have pain. We're not in heaven yet. We're still upon the earth. And in this world you shall have tribulation. But it's what we do with that hurt that makes us either a better person or a bitter person. And a bitter life is a wasted life. Because the longer we hold on to those hurts and bitterness, the more we prolong the pain. But our problem is that when we are hurt, we say to ourselves, they hurt me, therefore I'm going to close myself off. I'm going to build up those walls. I'm not going to allow anyone to get close again because I'm not going to allow them to hurt me anymore. And we close God out as well because ultimately we're blaming God for allowing it to happen. And as a result, we harden our hearts towards it. Can I encourage you that in those times of pain, when you are hurt, don't run from God, run to God. He really is the only one who can help us, the only one who can make a difference. The real tragedy of this hard, beaten path is that it's barren. Nothing can grow there. A closed life to God is a wasted life. The Lord Jesus said that the birds come along and eat the seed. Whatever is causing our hearts to be closed or hardened towards God needs to be confessed and repented of if we are to hear God speaking to us. We must have an openness toward God. The second thing that I would say is this, that we must allocate time to listen. We've got to make time to hear from God. We've got to slow down. We've got to allow time in our daily schedule when we're going to meet with God. We plan everything else. or holidays, or dentist appointments, whatever it might be, we schedule them into our diary, we make time for them, and whatever else is going on stops while we carry this thing out. Do we make time for God? Do we schedule regular appointments to meet with Him? Or does He simply get the leftovers of our time? I fear that one of the reasons that we don't hear from God is because we don't take time to hear. We're in such a hurry, such a rush. Even next day delivery from Australia Post isn't fast enough anymore. Computer users call that snail mail because it takes a whole day to get a letter from one place to the next. For now you can sit down with your keyboard in front of a computer or your mobile phone and you can send a message and it reaches the other person almost instantaneously. We live in a hurried lifestyle. We want things and we want it now. We want a response now. And God gets shuffled further and further down our to-do list. He gets what's left of our time. We get the last few sleepy moments of the day where we try to read a chapter of Scripture before we go to sleep and tiredness overcomes us and we don't take anything in. Or we say to God, we're in a hurry, if you're going to speak to me, speak to me now. We're running out the door to our next scheduled event. We fail to take time with God. You see, we're told in verse 6 that some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And in verse 13, in the interpretation, the Savior said, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Just as those with the closed mind and heart are represented by the hardened pathway, so this shallow soil represents a superficial attitude to the things of God. It's shallow. The Savior speaks about rocky ground. It's not a field or a paddock with a few stones in it. What we have here, when we think of the land of Israel, is that much of the land is built upon a bedrock of limestone. There's about 3 or 4 inches, 78 centimetres of topsoil, and underneath that you've got the limestone. That means that the plants can grow down just a little way, but that's about it. The roots can't penetrate the rock, and when the summer comes and the sun comes out and the heat is on, the plants wither and they die because there's no moisture for them. They're unable to develop those deep roots that can draw up sustenance from deep in the earth. Some fall upon a rock or upon the rocky ground. There's a superficial hearing of the word of God. Yes, they get excited about it, but it doesn't last. And when the heat is on, the problems come and they fall away and wither. We're like that sometimes. We hear the word of God, we're superficially moved by it, we react emotionally to it, but we never truly give it time to sink in, to really meditate upon it, so that it's not just in one ear and out the other, but it reaches our heart. I've lost count of the number of times when people have been leaving services that I've preached in, when they've come up and shook my hand as they're ready to leave and say, you know, that message really touched me. I was almost moved to tears. That was a message from God for me. And a month later, there's no perceivable change or difference in their life. They're still living the same way as they were. They got excited about the message, but they didn't do anything with it. It was a superficial reaction to what they heard. They have no roots. The word didn't really get into their hearts. They were emotionally moved by it, but they weren't transformed by it. If you want a statistic that will depress any preacher of the gospel, here it is. We forget somewhere between 90 and 95% of everything that we hear within the first 72 hours. And there we are, laboring every week to produce these all magnificent masterpieces of sermons, realizing that by Wednesday you've forgotten all of it except for 5%. Sometimes I don't even remember what I preached last week. That's why I write it down. Because if I don't write it down, I forget about it. But if I write it down, it means I can go back to it. And I can read it again. And I can take time with it. And the more time that I spend with it, perhaps the more of it will stick. And that's true for us all. It's as we meditate upon the Word of God, as we allow it to sink in, that we benefit from it. I remember speaking to a man on one occasion who told me that he accepted and believed and lived his life in accordance with the Ten Commandments. I said, "Can you name them for me?" I think he got six. How are we going to live our life by the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God? Unless we're retaining and reviewing what God has said. Otherwise, we're just kidding ourselves. How is it that people can come to church week after week, year after year, hear the Word of God read and preached, and yet never truly be changed by it? Because it goes in one ear and out the other. Notice what it says in verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And underline that word. They receive the word with joy. And yet these have no root. They received it with joy, but they did not retain it. They were thrilled by what they heard, but they were not transformed by it, because it didn't remain with them. We need to take time where we sit down with our Bibles and read and record and review the lessons that we have learned in order that we might grow. We've all seen some who have started their Christian life with great excitement and enthusiasm and full of joy, and today they're not to be found in a church at all. Because it requires more than enthusiasm to be a Christian. It takes commitment, a dedication. It's a perpetual following of Christ. And we have to ask the question, why would God teach me something new today if I haven't put into practice what He taught me yesterday? Why do people not have roots, spiritually speaking? Because they don't take time. Don't take time to listen. Don't take time to review and consider and meditate and ponder God's truth. So we should allocate that time. I'm not going to give you a definite period of time that you should spend. But take some time. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day. It's not the amount of time that you take. It's actually the taking of the time that matters. Of stopping, pausing, and getting alone with God. And allowing Him to speak to us, to take the time to allow God to speak to us. However long it takes. There's a third thing. We have to deal with the distractions in our life. Many of the times that we miss hearing from God is because our minds are crowded and filled with other things. We've got the concerns of daily living. We've got the worries that pile up upon us. We've got our plans and aspirations for the future. We've got our goals and ambitions. We've got bills to pay. We've got all kinds of things that we need to do. And our mind is full and busy. We're told in verse 7 that some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with and choked it. Verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Their minds are preoccupied. You see, before the good seed ever comes to that ground, there's other seeds that are there. Their mind is preoccupied. There's the thorns and the thistles and the weeds which are ready to spring up at any time. We're distracted. And though this good seed goes in, it gets choked by the weeds before it can ever fully develop and bear fruit. Those who say that they don't know what God would have them to do simply tell us that they're not spending enough time alone with God. God has no intention for us to waste our time. He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us, but we'll not find it in a magazine, nor will we find it watching the television soaps or such things. When we allow those weeds into our mind, it chokes the Word of God. When we become so distracted with all of the affairs of life that we allow those things to push God's Word out of our mind. I came across a little sign one day that read, "Beware of the barrenness of a busy life." So busy with other things, so preoccupied that we miss out on what's important. Don't confuse activity with productivity. Plenty of people that are always on the go, always busy, but with no focus, no rhyme nor reason. Their life is just cluttered with all of these other things that need doing. And these distractions are like weeds, and the Savior gives us three examples of different distractions and weeds that choke the good seed. He said in verse 14, of those when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. We can choke God's word by worries. Worries distract us from hearing God speak. But we can't pray and worry at the same time. We either bring our cares to the Lord and leave them there, or else we're still carrying them. And these worries that the Savior's speaking of are the problems and pressures and concerns of the daily life. The Greek word for worry gives us the picture of being pulled in different directions, and I'm sure you felt that way at times. There's so many things calling for your attention that you don't know what way to turn. You're being pulled this way and that. The Bible calls that worry. And when we're so distracted with these worries pulling us in every direction, that we are failing to hear from God. The cares of this world choke the message of God. We can be choked with cares, and we can be choked by riches. Riches can be a weed in our life. When we're so busy making money that we don't have time for God, so busy making a living that we don't have time to live for the Savior, to get up each morning, to go to work hard, to pay your bills, to catch up and to keep up and get ahead of the Joneses. Flop into bed at night and rise again the next day just to do the same. And God gets crowded out in the pursuit of riches. Others, the pleasures of this life. So there's nothing wrong with pleasures. God has given us the ability to know and enjoy pleasure. God wants you to enjoy pleasure. But we can be so busy having fun that we forget God. It used to be a problem with some of the young people in my last church. Our prayer meeting was on that clashed with some of the sports matches that would have been on television at the same time. It became very apparent very quickly as to who wins when the football clashed with the Bible study. There are all kinds of weeds, and you can make your own list of things that crop up in your life and choke out the good word of God. It could be a relationship. It could be some duty or responsibility. It could be something that you've set your affections upon that is taking you away from the things of God. Let me ask you a very theological question. How much effort does it take to grow a weed? The answer is none at all. Our garden is beginning to look like a weed farm at the moment. I think we're trying to see how many different types of weed we can grow in one plot of ground. The difference between a weed and a flower. A flower is something that you cultivate and fertilize and trim and water and still doesn't grow. And a weed is something that explodes out of the ground without any help at all. You don't have to water the weeds. You don't have to tend to them. They just grow. They're a sign of neglect. A garden full of weeds is a garden that has been neglected. And when we neglect spending time with God in His Word, when we fail to spend time at the prayer meeting or the Bible study, when we fail or neglect to get together with other Christians and worship and praise, the weeds will begin to grow. And the Bible says they will choke the very spiritual life out of I will lose my joy, my peace, my purpose, because I have neglected spending time with God. Now there's one last type of ground. The good ground. God will talk, will speak to those who have in advance decided that they're going to do whatever God tells them to do. You see, the good ground is ground that has been opened up by the plough, that the sod has been turned over, the weeds have been pulled out, the stones have been removed, the ground is lying open, ready to receive the good seeds, ready to take whatever the sower plants within it and grow it to its fullest capacity. And God will speak to us when we come to Him like that good ground where we are open and receptive to His Word to do whatever He asks of us, to grow whatever He plants within us. We have determined and decided that we're going to do it God's way no matter what. If you want God to speak to you, you tell Him, Lord, I'm going to do it Your way. Whatever You ask me to do, whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether it seems that I like it or not, because I know that Your way is right, and that's more important. It's a matter of trust. Here we see this fourth type of heart represented as one that is willing to receive the good word of the gospel, ready to receive the seed. Verse 15 says that on the good ground, but the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it
and bring forth fruit with patience. They keep the word of God. They not only hear it, but they keep it. They retain it. They have written it down. They have listened to it. They have thought about it over and over again. And the result is, they become productive. They bring forth much fruit. I have no doubt, spiritually speaking, we want to have productive, fulfilling, satisfying lives. That's why James tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We have to be doers of the word. We don't grow spiritually just by coming to church. We grow spiritually when we come to the book of God and do what it says. Have that right attitude in order to hear from God, that God can speak to us, reveal his will unto us, knowing that we will cooperate with it, whatever it is. We don't get a chance to read what God has said and decide whether we're going to accept it or not and believe it or not and behave it or not. We allow God to speak. We put our confidence in God and in his word. We do what it says, knowing then that when we are lost, it will give us direction. When we've made a mistake, it will give us correction. God's word is perfect. That's why it's important that we memorize God's word, so that God can bring it to our mind whenever we need it. Because if the only time that God can speak to me is when I've got my Bible on my knee and I'm reading it, then I'm going to miss out on much of God's help. But if I've memorized God's word, then the Lord is able to bring that verse that I've memorized to my mind in the very moment that I need it. So what kind of attitude do we have to hearing from God? Have we a closed mind, like the hardened pathway that refuses to let the word in, refuses to hear? Have we a superficial mind that's shallow, like the stony ground, where we get excited about what we have heard, but then promptly forget about it? Or do we have a distracted mind, like the seed that falls amongst the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, that wants to do the right thing, but just we're too busy right now? And the things of this life choke the word of God. Or do we have a heart like the good ground, opened and receptive and ready to receive God's word? You can find out very quickly as to which kind of heart you have this evening. It'll be seen by what you do with this message. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The moment that the service is over and you walk out through the door, there'll be a little bird that will want to seek to steal the seed of the gospel away, the things that you've talked about. The devil wants you to forget about it. He'll want to get you distracted and think about what work you have to do through the week or the problems that are pressing upon you or any number of distractions. If you really want to make this message count, you have to do something with it. Otherwise, we've just wasted an hour. We need to do something with this. It may be that we'll determine to read our Bible more consistently and regularly. We may want to start memorizing a portion of the scriptures each day or each week, to have a quiet time with God, to be found more at the midweek Bible studies, whatever it might be. If God is speaking, have we got the heart that is ready to hear him, to receive his word, to benefit from it, to grow spiritually and fruitfully for the Lord? God does speak. He continues to speak. He is desiring to speak to us. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few thoughts to our heart this evening, and we'll commit ourselves unto the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we pray that thou would speak to us. Thou would reveal the things of Christ to us. And oh, that we would have a heart that is open and receptive, ready to hear, ready to obey, ready to follow, ready to serve whatever the Lord would ask us to do. That we would do it promptly, without grumbling, without complaint, without seeking to cast our approval upon what the Lord would have us to do. That we would do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, without question. Oh, that we would have such an attitude towards the things of God. We fear that so often that our hearts are closed, our ears blocked, we are hardened towards the things of God, and so often when the seed of the gospel would come, that it doesn't penetrate, and we don't benefit from it. Now swiftly Satan moves in to steal it away. Oh Lord, save us from such a hardened attitude to the things of God. May we not be shallow or superficial in our walk with Christ, where we receive the word with gladness and are excited about it, but fail to act upon it, because there's no real depth to our Christian experience. Oh, for an ever-deepening relationship with the Lord. Oh, for roots in our life that go down deep and are able to draw up that nourishment and benefit from a life in Christ. We pray, our Father, that we might not allow the cares of this world, or the seeking of riches, or the pleasures of this life, to choke out the good seed of the gospel. Oh, that we might keep our eyes fixed firmly upon him who is author and finisher of our faith, and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things being added unto us. Speak to us, we pray. Give us those hearing ears. Give us that obedient heart. May we ever seek to live unto thy praise, glory and honor. We pray in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.